Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Let's hit melancholic. Let's start with the weaknesses and we end with a high note. I'm thinking let's only do this one then. Maybe next week, if you guys are interested, you can come. I get it. Next week, we are all here anyway. We are even all here anyway. So I don't see the problem. Is there a problem? There's no problem. I don't think there's a problem. Take your seat. Do you get it? Let me give you a tip. Pray for the strength of a choleric. Don't say you are a choleric if you are not one. There's nothing wrong with your temperament. But pray for the strength of a choleric. The same way it's choleric is praying for the strength of other temperaments. You're going to see that he is lacking also seriously in other areas. Pray for those strengths. I'm going to send you guys these templates the way they are so that you can maybe pray. Do you get it? As you see that, ish, Lord, help me with this. Lord, turn me into this person. Yeah. If we're going to plant churches in many locations, either we need to have a lot of cholerics or we need to turn ourselves into cholerics. I'm trying to tell you that we cannot achieve without those strengths. They are needed. Are you listening to me? Yeah, so maybe you are not one, but you can pray for the strength that character has. And those characters will come on you. Yes, and we have a very clear example in Lighthouse of a phlegmatic that has turned into a choleric today. Bishop Ogo, for those of you who know Bishop Ogo. Bishop Ogo is a born phlegmatic. But let me not say, because the other time I spoke about him, he came to my dream. So let me, I remember. Let me leave it the way it is. All right, it's okay. I just remembered. It wasn't easy for me. The guy came to my dream proper. He dealt with me in the dream. That you are talking. Do you know me very well? You are talking about me like that. You see? So let's leave it. Do you get it? All right. So, melancholics. Here are the weaknesses of a melancholic. They get depressed at imperfection. Some people get depressed because their heart is broken. Some people get depressed because maybe, you know, somebody died. A choleric gets depressed because things are not perfect. He becomes so down that things are not perfect. That things are not the way he wants them to be. Or the way she wants them to be. It affects them so much that the energy level goes down. Nobody has died. No. Nobody is dead. Nobody had a car accident. It's just that they came and the sofa is not aligned with the TV cabinet. There's a bit of misalignment just there. and that can ruin the whole day. They get depressed at imperfections. A real melancholic is hesitant to start projects. A lot of ideas are always running in the mind. A lot of things that are running in the mind. But he does a lot of pros and cons, pros and cons, pros and cons, pros and cons. And he says, you know what? Let's wait a bit. Let's wait a bit. Let's wait a little bit. Let's wait a little bit. Yeah. Babbling with ideas. Plenty ideas. Plenty, plenty, plenty. There's always something they know. They will know this is what we could do. But to start it is where the problem is. They look at it. They do an analysis of all the problems that can come as a result of them doing that thing. Do you understand? And they feel, no. Let's wait a little bit. They are always waiting a little bit. Let's wait a little bit. Yeah, procrastination. And another big problem that a melancholic has, that he has a gift to take himself down. It's an interesting gift. Self-depreciation. Do you know there's something called appreciation? And there's something called depreciation. Yeah, loss of value. A melancholic seems to depreciate herself or himself naturally. No matter what they do, by themselves, they will convince themselves, this thing is not right. I didn't do well. I could have done better. What were you trying to do there like that? Everybody can be saying, this is a great thing you've done. You have achieved something great. They feel it doesn't, like it's not anywhere near where they wanted it to be. Self-depreciation. Yeah, it's a gift. Because other people don't have such a gift. They rather feel they've done something and they don't understand why you are not clapping. Do you get it? But other people, they rather take themselves down and they enter into some deep moods of feeling low. And they have a deep need for approval. Because of the self-depreciation, approval becomes very important to them. Being accepted. Being accepted. Being loved. Being wanted. It becomes so important to them how you feel about them. It matters so much to them how you interpret what they are doing. It matters a lot to them. Are you recording me? Okay. At least we have it on record so that at any time, you can always go back to it. And we're going to make it in four parts. The cholerics, the melancholics, like so that you just go and refresh yourself. They have a deep need for approval. No matter how much they have, no matter how much they make, no matter what car they drive, there's still something missing. They want you to say you want them. They want you to say you are this. They feel the need for it. It's very important. And this explains why when they fall in the hands of a sanguine, they are dealt with squarely. Because a sanguine gives compliments for free. It's like water just flowing out of a river. He doesn't mind. He doesn't even think. He's just giving them to you. Just take. So they just fall so easily for the sanguinism. And they get so hurt when they realized the sanguine didn't mean those things they were saying. It was just words. It was just words. They didn't mean it. They didn't mean it. They said it because they say a lot of things. It's just something they said in passing. And here now you are there, you are holding to it. And then you are saying, you remember what you said the other day? He said, what did I say the other day? No, I don't remember saying that. You don't remember saying that? Yeah. So now they are hurt again. They are hurt again. And they dwell on the negative. You know that example, and I'm happy that I've got a glass here. Yeah. So here is how it goes. I'm not sure if you've heard about this example. Depending on what temperament you fall under, when you look at this glass, you will say it's half full, or you will say it's half empty. So a melancholic will not see that the glass is half full. For him or her, this is half empty. And they are right. Do you understand? But why is it that that's the first thing you see? That the glass is half empty. So that's the negative. You focus more on the negative. And when you are focusing on the negative, it doesn't mean that's the only thing that is there. But that is what you seem to always go towards. There is some positivity there. But you seem to be blinded to the positivity. You are just focusing on this part. Why is that glass half empty? What happened? Who was drinking? And I mean, it's not even at the middle. They could have drank at least until somewhere here. Because the glass starts big and becomes small at the bottom. So I don't think it's exactly the middle. The way I assess this thing, mathematically speaking, it's supposed to be somewhere here. And I'm wondering, what type of drink is this? They start analyzing and analyzing. Somebody's got to fill up that glass. That's what is going on in their minds. They dwell on the negative. So when they are leading people, people are making progress, but that's not what they focus on more. They focus on those steps you haven't taken. Okay, you've done TMG, you are now at cell leaders, or you are at fruitful believer. He doesn't focus on the fact that you've completed new believer. His problem is, why haven't you started cell leader? When are you going to reach area shepherd? I mean, when I look at your journey, it's still far, and I say you are joking. You don't understand that we have a lot to do. That's a melancholic. No, I gave you guys a foundation. That we are working from a foundation, so that now you don't just choose things. I feel like. Because when after you just woke up and you say, I feel like cholerism. I feel I'm a choleric. No, I feel like I'm a sanguine. They've never felt like they're phlegmatic. If you see these people, nobody ever woke up and said, I feel like phlegmatism today. Always choleric, sanguine. Choleric, sanguine. I don't know who told them that. That is the life. A melancholic, moody and depressed. If you've heard a thing called mood swings, Cape Town weather. Yeah. Cape Town weather. The whole day, things change. Yeah.
Why are you guys standing up? Are you melancholics? All the melancholics are up. And we are owning up. There's nothing wrong in being a melancholic. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. Me, I'm also a melancholic. I have it in me fully. I don't have a problem. I'm telling you about us. Yeah. I don't have a problem. You are the people, you are fighting your characters. Me, I don't have a problem. A part of me is melancholic and I have accepted it. I don't mind. Moody and depressed. Yeah. And especially when they haven't allowed the Holy Ghost to work on them. You can even think, they turn the moods into spirituality. Like, do you understand? Like, they are actually in the flesh, but they have a way of making their moods to be spiritual. Like, it's, I don't know how to explain it. There's like, they are, you will feel that you are in the spirit. Meanwhile, you are dealing with the flesh of this person. And they spiritualize their moods. If they come today and they are angry, and you will be feeling that, no, the Holy Ghost is angry. If you are dealing with a melancholic preacher, and the mood is anger, today say, today, I feel angry in my spirit. But no. Not in your spirit. You feel angry. Full stop. They just said, I feel angry in my spirit. It is a holy anger. They are spiritualizing this thing. And you stuff it, you can't challenge them. You can't challenge them. You know, a melancholic feels that after the Holy Spirit is him. Do you understand? Like, anything he's feeling is the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow. Like, it's a true connection. It's a, like, if anything I feel, that is the state of the Spirit at this time. How can that be? How can that be? How can that be? That you are always in the Spirit. And that's why they don't challenge themselves to grow. Because they always try to spiritualize it. They try to spiritualize. Instead of seeing that it's a weakness. Yeah. Yeah. So no. The spirit is agitated. The spirit is agitated. There's an agitation. What agitation are you talking about? You are agitated. Just say the spirit is agitated. there's an agitation. And you know why? Because many prophets are melancholics. Many prophets. So they usually don't properly separate themselves with this thing. Yeah. That's Jeremiah for you. Do you get it? Prophets, many of them are melancholics. Not all, but I mean like Elijah was a choleric, but most of them sometimes they are melancholic. So, because they are deep. They are deep. So when they appear, you are afraid. You don't want to mess up with them. So anything they want, I just, you get it. So they can easily manipulate and control a crowd of thousands. Just they stand there like that. And they swing like this. And everybody is swinging. Everybody is swinging. A lot of power. A lot of power, I tell you. A lot of power. A lot of power. A lot of power. Yeah. And they know that you are afraid. Because they take a certain mood. And people just, what's going on now? What's going on now? What's going on? So you are not focusing on him as a character. You are looking at the prophet or the prophetess. Yeah. Like I saw this video, this prophetess, she's sitting there. And this girl came. And I don't know what happened. It's like the girl fell a bit on her. Yo! Where are the ashes? Where are the ashes? How can you let her fall on me? I can't believe this. The whole service changed. I can't believe this. This guy just fell on me. And you guys are all there like that. I can't believe this. I can't believe this. Can you believe it? She just fell on me. My God. Where are my ashes? My God. I'm in danger. I'm in danger. How can somebody just fall on me? Everybody is afraid. I'm telling you, everybody is like, hey, yo. Control through the moods. Control. They control things through their moods. And they are thinking that all their moods are from the Holy Spirit. And they enjoy being hurt. And I can explain why. I can tell you why. You see, you might not understand. The melancholic enjoy being hurt because it takes them to the previous state, which is the moods. If a melancholic is not hurt, there's no reason for the moods. So there must be something that kicks his moods and leads to the manipulation and all of these other things. So there must always be somebody who did something that has... I need to justify the moods. Do you get it? It's because it helps them explain. This is why I'm like this. Yeah. It's interesting. If a melancholic goes for a month without being hurt, I don't think they're happy. Yeah. They need a hurt. There must be an offense. Because the moods need to express themselves. And because they enjoy being alone. Like, a lot of things, that hurt does a lot of things for them. It helps them to stay alone, to withdraw, to crawl in their corner, to be depressed, you see, to self-depreciate, to feel the need to be approved. It's just, it doesn't, are you okay? Okay. You are looking at me very intently, eh? It's like you are trying to intimidate me that I mustn't speak. I'm going to speak what I have to speak, my dear. I will speak it. Small girl, she wants to intimidate me. No. Why do you want to intimidate me? No. I will speak. So, they are prone to guilt feelings. Yeah. You know, a melancholic is a self-prosecutor. Do you understand what it means? That they prosecute themselves. Yeah. They accuse themselves, they charge themselves, they condemn themselves by themselves. Yeah. Guilty as charged, all by themselves. Nobody has to condemn them. They do it by themselves. Yeah. And they are merciless towards themselves. You must find them passing judgments on themselves. You can't believe it. You can't believe the things they are saying to themselves. Yeah. A melancholic will carry a grudge for a long time. Yeah. Herodias, she was a melancholic girl. And I feel that Herod was a sanguine. Because Herod didn't have a problem. It was just flowing nicely. But Herodias, she was a melancholic. And her daughters are here. And her daughters are in our midst. Herodias' daughters. Vengeance. Yeah. Vengeance. A lot of vengeance. A lot of Chinese girls are very, very revengeful. Eh? Yeah. You know those? Most of their movies are about vengeance. They fight. So I think there's a lot of melancholism going on in China. Because all the movies are about revenge, 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 revenge. Doesn't forgive easily. So for those of you that are beloved, those in melancholics, just understand that it's not a personal matter. It's just that predispositionally speaking, they don't easily forgive. Even when they want to forgive you, they can even tell themselves, I will forgive now. I think it's enough. He has suffered enough. She has suffered enough. But as soon as they see you, if something gets reactivated. Yeah, and there's a need to deal with other issues within that issue that they didn't deal with the last time. Do you get it? They are shy and insecure socially. So a melancholic will not easily approach you, even when they want you. They will not easily approach you. They will just look at you from far, and they will look uninterested. They will look like you don't matter. But they are having all night on your case. They are having all night. They are having. All night, all night, all by themselves. They are having all night. And you are the topic of the all night. I'm telling you. Yeah. All night on your case. So they are usually shy and insecure socially, meaning in terms of, you know, fellowshipping, talking to other people, they are not much into that. They are very reserved. They take their time. A melancholic can study you for a long time before they approach you. By the time they are approaching you, you are seeing them for the first time. But they've studied you for about 7 months. You will be shocked at what they know about you. When they are talking to you, you are just discovering them. But you've gone through scans, you've gone through analysis, laboratories. A lot has happened. By the time they're approaching you, you see, because, I don't know whether it was mentioned that, you see, melancholics are very loyal. Very loyal. Is that the strength? Yes. So, because of that, do you understand? They usually want to check if you deserve their loyalty. If you deserve what they are bringing. Because once they're in, it's very difficult for them to. Once Once they come, because they've analyzed it. I'm saying that a lot of Chinese, you see Chinese guys, like, they will observe you. By the time they pick the sword and they are coming, you must understand you are dead. Except God helps you, you are dead. Because the fact that he's picked the sword now, it means I have calculated everything here. And I know exactly what I'm going to hit. So it's because of the loyalty that a melancholic has. He's not easily open to you like that. So you sometimes feel as if he doesn't or she doesn't like you. But it's because they are not sure yet if they should give you what they want to give you. Did you understand that? What I'm trying to say? Like, they are just assessing, do you deserve it? Should we give it to you? So once they're not charged and they are coming, a lot of calculations have, you've been married already. Like, you are married. Maybe you're already holding the first baby. By the time they are talking to you for the first time, they've taken this thing until the first or the second baby. Do you understand? Like, am I making sense to you? I don't think you understand. I'm saying that by the time a melancholic is saying hello to you, you are already married to him. And you are already, no, you're not understanding. I'm not saying that you in particular are married. I'm using an example on you. Did you understand? I think I should check where I make my examples, because now people are receiving prophecies. So they usually are ahead of you, very much ahead of you. This must help you understand, when you are trying to get a melancholic to church, you will not easily get him to church. You must understand that. But if you get him or her to church, that's it. Do you get it? So always understand that if you are saying, they didn't come, this and this and this, if you start checking the temperaments, you will notice that most of these people that don't come when you want them to come, a lot of them are melancholic or phlegmatics. So they take a lot of time to decide. That's why you have to be on the job a lot. And you should also learn to mix a bit of sanguinism before you are out of the job by virtue of discouragement. Like, don't just keep going to melancholics, every day melancholics, and you are discouraged, you are more discouraged. So mix it up with some phlegmatics or with some sanguines and cholerics that will come and not stay. But at least they came. Just encourage yourself in the Lord. If you understand temperaments, you will understand your ministry. You will understand some of the people, they didn't come early. I worked very hard, but when they came, they stayed. Look at Tapelo next to you there. I mean, I never knew Tapelo. But Tapelo said he started attending Sisan City. Do you understand? And I asked him, what is his temperament? He said, no, he's a phlegmatic. It's true, because, you see, a phlegmatic can be around, you will never know he's there. And Tapelo does many things in this church. You might never even know his name. And he has no intent. Like, it's not that he wants his name on any. That's not his. He just enjoys doing it. And God created some of us like that. So when you want something that God didn't give you, then you start creating problems for yourself. Yeah. And he will be there just doing his thing, not minding anybody's business. And a sanguine girl will fall in love with him in a way that she herself will not understand. That what's happening? This guy is quiet and I'm always interested in him. Yeah. Do you get it? They struggle with low self-esteem. Low self-esteem. They get theoretical. In other words, they analyze a lot of theories. You know, they double check the equation. They start it again and they reach there. Okay, they go back and the second, hypothesis. The third hypothesis, yeah. They analyze a lot. Yeah. So before they make a decision, I'm telling you, these people, they've thought it through. That's why it takes them a lot. That's why sometimes they appear to be very slow to decide, because they have to think a lot. Before a melancholic says, yes, I do. Oh, my God. And she was doing long time ago, but to say it. To say it. Do you understand? A melancholic man, he will wait and calculate until his beloved get taken by a sanguine. Then he has to start again. He has to start again. He has to start again. I get it, he likes being hurt. So he will be hurt about the sanguine brother. Then he will enter into the mood. Then he will go into the depression and all of those things. And he will feel sorry for himself. And he will be there in the corner and start again. They choose difficult work. Because they are sacrificial in nature. I'm telling you that they are most martyrs were melancholics. They like things that are difficult. Like strenuous. Things that will take a lot from them. Yeah. That I even believe that the Lord Jesus was a melancholic. Do you understand? I mean, how can you just decide you want to die like that? Do you think it's normal? Like there was an element. Yeah. How can you just offer yourself? Because one of the apex of melancholism is sacrifice. The sacrifice is melancholy can do for people, not do for himself. In so many ways, a melancholic can, you know, focus on others. You know that message about others. Hey, melancholics, the others. They like helping others. They like feeling for others. They might never even remember themselves, but they will help everybody. Are missionaries? Yeah, there's many missionaries are melancholics. Yeah. So when you have this, you just sacrifice. You want to see other people do well. That's a melancholic. They choose difficult jobs. Jobs that are demanding. Jobs that when they are done, they are also done. You understand? Like when the job is done, they also are done. Everybody is done. It is finished. I tell you, Jesus Christ is a miracle. I'm telling you the truth. The Lord Jesus, I'm telling you. We'll ask him when we go down. Okay, the Lord, wish, like, tell us. Tell us. He said, it is finished. I've done this thing. I mean, which work was more difficult than dying for people on the cross? Do you see a choleric doing such a job for anybody? He will send everybody to the cross except himself. He will send everybody to the cross. A sanguine will promise to die for everybody. When it's time to die, he will disappear. Here. I'm ready. say, so all of us will just sit and relax. By the time we are looking for him, he has disappeared. He's in China. You get it? So the probabilities are you needed a melancholic type of temperament to just accept to do this. You understand? Certainly not a phlegmatic. I mean, do the Via Dolorosa. He will not finish it. He will not finish it. Via Dolorosa, he will not finish it. Between Jerusalem and the Golgotha, he will die in between there before it happens. No, he will not be there. He will not be there. The cross is heavy. And I don't think you guys check the weight of this thing by the time you are bringing it for me. You get it? Or he will be catching it the whole time. So look at this one. Often sets standards that are too high. And this is a serious problem. Melancholics don't seem to assess themselves well. Yeah. I remember I was in school. I maybe grade 7 or 8. I fell in love with my school teacher, the lady who was supposed to. Yes. Yes. I think grade 7 or grade 8. This girl, a woman. I mean, like, do you get it? The teachers were fighting for her, not knowing that the small boy, he's also feeling that I should have this girl in my life. Very high standards. No, I used to ask myself, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Why am I always going for things? Isn't it? I come to South Africa, I want a white woman. In a country of apartheid. Do you understand that? Do you understand how the mind of a person is working? You are always chasing things that are high. Everybody is wearing just John 3:16. You are coming, you want, just do it. John 3:16, just do it. It's high standards. You like things that are high. Do you get it? So it gets them because they love beauty and all of that. But sometimes, they don't reach those standards and then they get depressed. Do you get it? So they don't easily accept what will actually work. Hey, even if you do counseling for them, they still feel you don't have good intentions for them. I mean, why are you saying that they should do like this? Meanwhile, they're telling you this is what they want. That girl, I knew the teacher who liked her. And I didn't like that teacher. Can you be? I mean, like, I was a small boy. I mean, I even asked, what was going on with me? Is this thing? Yeah. You haven't done video with your phone, but you want to be on TV. When they say to you, start with your phone. Please. I want it proper. Hey. Is it? Yeah. High standards. And they are suspicious. Very, very suspicious. The mind works a lot. Hey, they always overthink things. They want to know, why did you say that? What is the reason behind that? Why are you doing this? And they always, I'm talking about a raw melancholic. I'm not talking about a melancholic that has come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because when you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, even though you are melancholic, some of the things I'm saying, they don't apply much to you anymore. Because the Holy Ghost works in us and he changes us. You get it? So, let's look at the strength quickly. before we go. Yeah, let's end well. Wow. Do you realize that this temperament teaching is stronger than maybe the whole part of your Christianity that you've been receiving scriptures? If we take all those scriptures together, just what you've listened to now seems to have worked faster to you. That's how powerful these things are, if you can understand them. So some of the people, some of your souls that are melancholic, you will not understand why they are behaving like that. Some of your souls that are choleric, imagine you are trying to win a choleric soul. Do you understand the type of project that is going to be for you? He's choleric, and you are maybe phlegmatic. Do you see how difficult it's going to be for you to get him to church? And it doesn't mean that you are weak in your work. It's just that you are not understanding temperaments and how they affect life. Understand yourself. Understand yourself well. Now look at your strength. See, set high standards. It's a strength. It's because they set high standards that if you check invention, that's, I told you, inventions, creations, most of them are done by melancholics. Most of the nice music you listen to are produced by melancholics. Most of the best artworks that you see are done by melancholics because of this perfectionism in them. Do you understand? They want things to be in a certain way. Steve Jobs, pure melancholic. Do you understand? Like, he wants perfection in everything. So that's why they come out with great things. Mozart, melancholic. What are these? All these composers, most of them were melancholics. Most of them. Yeah. All the artists that you know, check them. You will always find a dimension of melancholy. Either they are musicians or they are singing. They always have art. The art aspect, either fashion, but beauty. Nobody understands beauty more than a melancholic. Nobody. Do you get it? Because they interpret things deeply. So you find them in fashion designing. You find them in art. All that, the beauty side of life. Architecture. You know. They are a lot into such things. I'm not saying that it's only them, but mostly you will see. Yeah. Because you take a lot of thinking to come up with certain musics. And sanguine don't have that patience. And cholerics are too busy making everybody do things. You see, so a melancholic can sit with a sheet and start writing. Come up with a bestseller, just like that. You see? So the high standards are helping them achieve greater things. Maybe not a lot. They might not produce a lot. But the one or two they will produce will be top. And they are persistent and thorough. Because, you see, you must bear in mind that a melancholic is a perfectionist. Remember that about a melancholic. He perfects things. Do you understand? So, his things usually might look like they are unfinished because he wants to do a thorough work. Do you understand him? So that thing causes him to take longer to complete something. So even when you are now comparing results, you find out that a melancholic might not be as quick as a choleric or a sanguine in getting the result. Because he's working more like, you understand, he's into things that when you come and check the work of a sanguine, you find a lot of loopholes. A lot. It's a show. He's always into a show. Do you understand? When you come to check the work of a choleric, most of the people are angry. And many of them are tired. And offended. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Yeah. And a melancholic, many of the people are bored. Because, hey, you say, no, let's do that again. Let's shake it again. You know, again, you see. So they get bored sometimes. Detailed conscious and schedule oriented. Yeah. Detail conscious. A melancholic will tell you the flies had yellow wings. That fly that just passed now, the wings are yellow. And one of the wings is a little broken. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised at the level of detail that they carry. They are into certain things that you might not pick, but they pick it. You see? Usually get depressed at any angle of imperfection. Well, that falls into their, cannot be a strength. Serious, purposeful, and genius prone. You see? Most of many genius people are actually melancholic. A lot of them. So we have some genius here. We're now waiting to see genius in the ministry. Yeah. Let's move it to the ministry. Emotionally artistic. That's what I was showing you now. They move into their art with their emotions. When you listen to the composition of Mozart, you will feel something. You will not just hear something. You will feel something. When a melancholic has written a piece of music, you will feel. You will not hear. You will feel. You will feel. Your emotions will be hit immediately. As soon as the song starts, you will feel. If he was sad, you will feel sad. If he was unsure, as the song is played, you will start feeling unsure. I'm telling you, Jonah, you will start feeling unsure. Do you get it? Yeah. You will feel the emotions in this. I mean, where was I yesterday? I was somewhere yesterday, and there was this UK band that was playing. I'm telling you, I couldn't believe how I was feeling. And I said, wow. And that's an old song. And I've heard that song before. I heard it yesterday. I was somewhere yesterday, and I heard that song. And immediately, I was in a house. There was this, my neighbor there, he was playing that song. Just on next door. Yes. And I think I was having a one-on-one with this girl. As I was sitting there, my emotions were changing. As the song was playing, I said, wow, that's interesting. Because many songs played there, I didn't feel anything. But this particular song started playing, I started feeling some way. So it's written by a melancholic. Michael Jackson, you know, all those guys. Deep, very withdrawn people, but amazing in the delivery. You will never forget them by the time it's done. Yeah. So I think Michael Jackson was a melancholic somehow. Introspective and self-centered, so they always double-check themselves, you know. Philosophical and poetic, you know. So philosophical, I mean, they think a lot. They engage their minds a lot. Yeah. And then they are also poetic. They can rap you. They can, you know, they know how to make you feel something. Yeah. They will speak in a certain way. They rhyme naturally. You know, like they were born with words just there. They just know which words to speak. Yeah. Do you get it? They don't struggle to say things. Yeah, it flows natural. Has to finish what has been started because of the perfectionism tendency. Sacrifices own will for others. Jesus Christ. I'm saying it's all over there. It's all over. Jesus Christ wanted to save us perfectly. So he waited until he was 30 for the blood to be proper. Yes. And also for him to have 12 disciples that can continue what he started. He didn't just want to go and die and then there's nobody to tell people he died. So he first built the team. He worked on them. Finish that. So he thinks in the future, he wants this thing to be perfect. If you read in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says he's able to save us perfectly. Do you get it? So he sacrifices his own will for others. Who else do you know who said, not my will, but yours be done? Get moved, tears with compassion. And the Lord was moved by compassion. You know. Sees the problems. He saw the world. And want to be a martyr. Jesus went and died, killed himself. He said, nobody is killing me. I'm overing myself. You understand? So you will find out that in you there is this desire to do something for others. It's from God. Don't fight it. Just make sure. That's why we are taking you into the ministry, so that you don't do it for waste. Do it for something meaningful. And that is the key with Jesus. Jesus did this for God, and it was not a waste. I mean, many people died and we forgot them. Jesus died and we cannot forget him because he did it in the right environment. So when you are a melancholic and you are not born again, it's very dangerous. Because really, you're going to do a lot of things for people that will never remember you. You're going to sacrifice so much, and at the end of the day, you will live a very frustrated life because people will just abuse you and leave you and dump you there like that. At least if you are a melancholic, give your life to Jesus Christ and enter into the ministry, so that anything you are doing, even if people forget, God will never forget your work. That is the key. That's the key. All melancholics must get into the ministry. Otherwise, you will waste all these things for nothing. Get into the ministry. And when you are in the ministry, give it your best shot. Sacrifice that. Jesus gave everything there. And, you know, it was a great investment. So tonight we have watched two characters. And many melancholic think they are cholerics. And many cholerics think they are melancholics. Usually. And sometimes, like in my case, I'm both. I'm choleric and I'm melancholic. I have both things in me working effectively. Do you understand? So, you could be in the same situation. And I discovered today, I think the Holy Ghost made me aware, my father was a choleric. And my mother, probably she was melancholic, because when I hear what people say, she was a deep thinker. She always came up with very great ideas. Unlike my dad, who was very impassive. She was more of, everybody wants to do this, and she came with an idea that seems to just bypass what everybody was talking about. So I feel that she was probably melancholic, and that I inherited both sides. Do you get it? So maybe this is going to also make you to feel, what is the temperament of my father? And what is the temperament of my mother? Maybe I've inherited something from each one of them. Maybe. You get it. And you can start working from there as well. So, if you haven't seen yourself in any of these two, like proper, then you belong to the other two somewhere. The other two. Stop deceiving yourself. You should be able to look at this. If
more than five things here are hitting positive. Pam is hitting. Even if you are not showing, but it's hitting. Hey, you can't deceive yourself. Accept it. That's who you are. Yeah. So, some of you could be choleric, melancholic. And some of you could be melancholic, choleric. Depending on the mixture. There are those of you that fall under this. Because the possibilities here are either you are a choleric, melancholic, or you are a choleric, phlegmatic. Or you are a melancholic, choleric, or you are a melancholic, sanguine, or you are a melancholic, phlegmatic. Do you understand? It's different combinations. But as we study them, and as I send you the templates, then you can. But don't do like, hey, me, I like this one. I'm picking this one. No. Just check and see what is the balance. You could be phlegmatic sanguine. In other words, even though you are a phlegmatic, but there's a bit of sanguinism in you from your mother or your grandmother. Did you? And so, even though you are slow, but from time to time, hey, you kick in small. Do you get it? So I hope this has helped you. I hope this is bringing direction to you, more especially for yourself, and even more for those that are going to come, that God is going to send to you, the people that are supposed to make your team. We need to take them through this and check. And then you need to check the people you are trying to win to Christ. Also check. Just the temperament will explain a lot of things to you. So when you surround yourself with a team of melancholics, do you see how long it's going to take before you achieve one thing in your life? You are a melancholic. Your immediate assistant is a melancholic. His assistant is a melancholic. The whole cell is full of melancholism. You must call your cell melancholic. Or you are a choleric. Your assistant is a choleric. His assistant is a choleric. Everybody is a choleric. Just call yourself anger cell. Praise God. The type of anger that will be coming from there. When you are shouting here, he's shouting there. You are shouting at him, he's shouting at the other one. Everybody is shouting at everybody. You will one day wake up to realize that God was wise to not make all of us to have the same temperament. One day you will realize why we need every one of these temperaments. It is the combination of all these temperaments that make this world livable. Imagine we even had only three Hitlers in this world. Look at what one did. Now imagine the whole country is Hitlers. Where are we going to go in this world? We'll be cleared. Everybody will die. So it's good to have some phlegmatics that don't want to go to war. It's good to have some melancholics that are thinking about the war. And it's good to have some sanguine that want to enjoy. They don't want any war. So the mixture of all of that is going to make the choleric desire for war to not be actualized the way he wants it. Because all these temperaments are going to fight it. So that's why chances are you might not easily, and we always want to do it that way, but you see, God arranged it in a certain way that he never really likes you to marry somebody who is like you. Even though when you marry them, you want to make them like you. But God never intended for them to be like you. We always want to change people to be like us. But that is not what God wanted. God wants everybody to, because that is what makes the house nice. That is what makes the house beautiful. And you say to this person, why are you not like this? Why can't you do the way I'm doing? They say, no, you see, that's why the house is not working.
So choleric wives will struggle to submit. I mean, it goes without saying. Because of the nature of leading that is in them. So it's going to take grace, mercy, the blood of Jesus, a couple of mighty angels, Assigned 24/7. And a few cherubims for her to submit properly. But she will not tell you. She will tell, no, me. If you see light, then I will say, how deep must I go? Before you marry her. Before you marry her. But after you marry her, herself will come. Yes, it's like that. And there's nothing wrong. That's who she is. So it's not requires this knowledge to learn to control yourself. And you know, I'm married to a man and he is the head of the house. So I must learn to talk in a way that is humble. Sit here, sit here, sit here. Where are you? Come here. The type of things women are doing to men out there, you can't believe it. Sit here, sit here, sit here. I said here, sit here, come. We have to discuss about this thing. Hey. Even at the men, his heart is beating that. This man is going to beat me now. Do you get it? So, I'm saying, knowing the temperaments will assist us. Like some of you have seen your mother beat your father before. You've seen it. She beat him. Proper, proper. And it's funny. Nobody understands what's going on. This man can beat this guy. Or you've never seen a woman beat a man before. They do it. They do it. She beat him. Even the children know. So when the fight starts, they go to protect daddy. They go to protect daddy. They go to protect daddy. Oh my God. You are blessed in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.